Well, we've been going through the letter to the Hebrews, but not this morning. After the busyness of yesterday and preaching twice yesterday, I thought we'd look at something that we've looked at before, but maybe there's a timeliness in this. And sometimes in the providence of God, it's the right message at the right time for the right people. So come with me to Mark's Gospel, to the reading which we had, Mark chapter 8. Now, over these weeks, maybe you've been thinking about Christianity. You've been listening to it. You've been talking to Christians. You've been thinking about it. You've been reading the Bible. And you've been thinking, maybe I'll take this a bit more seriously. Maybe as you've been looking at it, you've been thinking, well, I know it's true. But something is holding you back. Even though you're taking it seriously, and even though you know it's true, you... thinking about those moths and cockroaches, you're not quite sure whether you should really come to the light. You're holding back. You've yet to come to Jesus. And maybe the reason is this. As you think about it, and as you've heard people explain what it means to follow Jesus, you've been thinking, it's just too costly. If I come to Jesus Christ, I have too much to lose. So two things to say, looking at Mark's gospel. It's true, if you come to Jesus, you have much to lose. So you're right, you're correct. You recognize that following Jesus, you can't sort of have it as a hobby or a pastime or something that you're interested in. If you come to Jesus Christ, it really is all or nothing. That either I surrender everything to Jesus Christ or I keep control of my life. No half measures. Jesus puts it like this, Mark 8 and verse 34, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Interesting, isn't it? And calling the crowd to him with his disciples. So Jesus is saying this to everyone, not an exclusive group. He says it to everyone. If you follow me, you must deny self and take up your cross. Following me, says Jesus, will cost you everything. Following me, you'll have to give everything. It's all or nothing. Okay, but what actually does Jesus mean? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Well, let's clear things up. It's not self-denial. It's not wearing hair shirts or giving up chocolate or something like that. So what does Jesus mean? Well, there's a me inside me. Let's call it self. And to that me, the me inside me, to self, I must say, says Jesus, no. I must deny self. So if you knock at my door, and I open the door and I say, oh, it's you, push off, go away, I will have denied you access to my home. And every day, self comes knocking on the believer's door. And self says, let me in. It's cold outside. What about me? What about what I think? What about what I want to do? And often that little voice will say, it's not fair. And every day the Christian has to say, oh, it's you. Go away. You're not welcome. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Deny self. Says Jesus, you must say no to the me inside me. Do you see what Jesus is saying? I refuse to make me the center of my thought life. My life is no longer about me, my plans, my hopes, my ambitions, my wishes. Because actually, by another name, that's just simply worship of self. I refuse to worship self. Because from now on, I worship Jesus Christ. I refuse to be self-obsessed. Because from now on, Jesus is my life. The Apostle Paul puts it like this. He said, for me to live is Christ. Christ and life are one. There's no areas of my life that extend beyond Christ. My life is Christ. There's no horizon that I'm looking to other than Christ. So you're right. If I come to Jesus Christ, I have much to lose. Says Jesus, it's all or nothing. But then Jesus puts it even more forcefully. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And of course, a disciple is not above his master. As Jesus took up his cross, so all who follow him must take up their cross. A cross, you nail people to a cross. So what Jesus is saying is that if you follow me, it's nothing less than death to self, death to the me inside me. And because it's a cross, there's nothing quick about it. At times, following Jesus will mean a slow, agonizing, humiliating death to self. It's to lose my life. It's to forfeit control. It's self on the cross, Christ on the throne. It's no longer about me, 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 because my life is all about him, him, him. And you'll notice it's voluntary. And calling the crowd to him and his disciples, with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So don't confuse crosses with trials. People talk about, oh, I've got a cross to bear, and they're talking about a trial. That's not what Jesus is talking about. This is not something that's dropped on you. This is something that you choose to take up. You take up your cross. So following Jesus means a one-way journey to a place of execution. The execution of self, the me inside me, who will get the whole universe revolving around itself. I take that one-way journey and I don't look back. From now on, Gerald Hemmings is dead and buried. Because from now on, for me to live is Christ. So do you see, Christ's claims are total. He's Lord of everything or he's Lord of nothing. Which means the ambitions I carry, ultimately, I have no ambition except to please him, to honour him, to glorify him. It's all for Jesus. It's all or nothing. So you're right. If you come to Jesus, you have much to lose. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. To follow him, I must put self, myself, out. There's a sense in which I'm walking out on myself to follow Jesus. It means his word becomes my law. His example binds me at every point. I listen to him. I learn from him. I trust him. I follow him. Because actually I love him. And so in the home, when the slippers are on, or maybe it's the bare feet, whatever you do at home, and the mask is off, says Jesus, follow me. Or at work, or school, college, when others are watching, says Jesus, follow me. In the life of the church family, follow me. In my solitude, follow me. Wherever he leads, whatever he commands, it really is all or nothing. Well, let's up the volume a bit. Turn with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke 14, that's on page 874 in the church Bibles. Jesus ups the volume. Verse 25. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, so again, it's a word to everybody, not an elite group, an exclusive club, it's to everybody. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, He cannot be my disciple. It's a bit strong, isn't it? What does Jesus mean? Am I to go around hating my nearest and dearest? Well, at night, if it's a clear night, you look out, there are stars in the sky. In the morning, the stars have gone. Where have they gone? Well, they're still there. They haven't gone anywhere. But in the morning light, you can't see the stars. The lesser lights have been eclipsed by a greater light, the light of the sun. So what Jesus is saying is this. He's putting it in very strong terms so we get the message. Because sometimes if things are too nuanced, it goes over our heads. So it has to be confrontational. It has to be straight. Yeah, I love my nearest and dearest. But they're lesser lights. And love for them is not to challenge my love for Jesus. If they're the stars, then he is the sun. And in the light of my relationship with him, that's how I live my life. Now, of course, the point is that if you come to know Christ, into your emptiness, he pours his love. And you have a fullness of love and a capacity to love you didn't have before. And actually, if you come to Christ, you will love your nearest and dearest more than you've ever loved them. But those loves are not to rival my love for Jesus. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. It says Jesus, if you would be my disciple, if you'd be a Christian, if you're going to follow me, you must love them less than you love me. So that if those loves clash, if there's a competition, as it were, between those loves, then the claim of every lesser love is to give way to love for Jesus. So again, Jesus is very clear, isn't it? It's all or nothing. There's nothing hidden in the small print. All or nothing. So you're right to hold back and to think, am I doing the right thing? Because if you come to Jesus, you've much to lose. If you come to Jesus, it may mean leaving the faith in which you were raised. And your family, your nearest and dearest, will be upset. If you come to Jesus, it may mean there are things that you can't join in with in the way they used to join in with. And your family won't understand. It may mean having to make decisions which, in effect, drive a wedge between you and your family and your friends. And they will look at those decisions and they will think that you don't love them. They will look at those decisions and maybe think that from now that since you've come to Jesus, you now hate them. Because following Jesus, you're now walking a different path. You're walking to the beat of a different drum. You're living in a new way, a different way, in pleasing him, in serving him. And you can't go back to the old ways and they won't understand. And it might break your heart as well as their hearts. And it's all or nothing. Verse 33 of Luke 14. Therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Oh. Renounce all that he has. Again, what does Jesus mean? Well, Robert Bruce was born in... This is not Robert the Bruce, this is Robert Bruce. Born in 1555, he was of royal blood. After the best education money could buy, he was groomed by his parents for a leading role in the court of King James VI of Scotland. But his parents' hopes were dashed because Robert got converted. He became a Christian. He became a lover and follower of Jesus. And soon after, he felt God's call to the Christian ministry. And then began the struggle. Because self, that voice inside, the me inside me, said, Robert, don't do it. Because you'll break your mum and dad's heart. And you'll be forfeiting a glittering career. you'll be turning your back on one of the most coveted positions in the land. Don't do it because at the moment you have the world at your feet. What are you doing walking out on that? Don't do it, said self. But Jesus said, Robert, it's all or nothing. Therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Robert, it's all or nothing. So eventually Robert yielded to God's call, became a pastor, became a preacher. His disappointed parents, they gave in, but they had one condition. This was the condition. He must return his inheritance. All the lands he'd been given when he came of age, he must give back. So obeying Christ meant for Robert giving up the life of a millionaire. It meant giving up a life in which nothing would be denied him. All or nothing. So said Robert. He said, I emptied my hands of some lands, and that I did willingly. I cast my clothes from me, my vain and glorious apparel, that's the red clothes of the royal court, and I sent my horse to market. I emptied my hands of all impediments, of everything that might hold him back, so he could serve the King of Kings. Of course, no one's ever heard of his contemporaries, but he's still remembered for what God did in and through him. You see, he didn't look at his possessions and said, mine, for me, I choose. He said, all that I have is Christ's. Not mine, but his. My life is not mine, it's his. My future is not mine, it's his. His to do with whatever he pleases. Whatever he thinks is best. It's no longer about me. It's about him. Do you see? How was he able to do it? If Christ is your treasure, the world suddenly looks very empty. If Christ offers a crown, why rake around in the muck? If Christ possesses you, then the things that once captivated you, they lose their attraction. So my friend, you're right. If you come to Jesus Christ, you have much to lose. Three times Jesus says, cannot be my disciple. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. No small print, no nasty surprises round the corner. It's there, straight before you. He's saying, this is authentic Christianity. This is what it looks like. It's not the Christianity you meet on the BBC or with the Archbishop of Canterbury. And it's the Christianity that's not tolerated in many parts of the world. If you live this sort of life, you'll be persecuted. Because the love and loyalty to Jesus Christ runs too deep for people's liking. It means Jesus first, best, always. Means he's my life, my breath, my strength, my song, my all in all. It really is all or nothing. So you're right to take the second thought. You're right to count the cost. It'd be all too easy to hear the promise of sins forgiven and peace with God and life eternal. You say, yeah, that sounds good, I love that. Only later to discover there are things about it that you weren't expecting. You think, well, I wasn't expecting that. That feels far too costly. I'm out. So Jesus doesn't hide it in the small print. It says, verse 25, now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, he wants you to hear this, he wants everyone to hear this. Which is why, says Jesus, count the cost. Look at verse 28. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Okay, if you're going to build your extension, it's blindingly obvious, isn't it? Don't start building your extension without knowing whether you can finish it. Can I finish what I've started? Or verse 31, what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate, here he is, counting the cost, whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. And if not, while the other is yet a way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So before you go to war, make sure you can win that war. Make sure you can finish it. Make sure you can see it through. Count the cost. Hear what Jesus is saying. You're right, you're right. Stop, think. If you come to Jesus Christ, it's all or nothing, it's costly. You have much to lose. So count the cost. But point number two. If you don't come to Jesus Christ, says Jesus, you lose everything. Does Jesus ask too much? Is following Christ unrelentingly grim? Does death to self, the me inside me, does it ruin you? Does it spoil everything? Oh, talk to Christians. Maybe you ask them a question. Would you go back to the way things were? Would you go back to your old life? Would you give up Jesus for the world? And then maybe ask them this question. When they became a Christian, did life come to an end? And they might tell you, actually, when I became a Christian, I felt that that's actually when my life began. Going back to Mark, verse 35 of chapter 8, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Matthew says something similar in Matthew 16, verse 25. Jesus' words there are, for whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So those who have come to Christ, they will say, yes, I lost my life, only then to find it. Perhaps they thought, if I come to Christ, oh, there goes my life. Only I found a new life, a better life. A real life. It's like I woke up, I came to life. A life that's free from guilt and shame and sin. Perhaps they thought when becoming Christian, well, there goes me. Only to discover they were never more themselves than when they were surrendered to Christ. If you stand in front of a mirror, and you raise your arm, careful how I raise my right arm, raise your right arm, your reflection will raise the left arm. It's the opposite. And that's the gospel in some ways. It's counterintuitive. If you hold on to your life, me, 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 says Jesus, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life to him, because it's all about him, actually, you'll find that life. You'll find life. You'll save your life. It's the opposite of what you expect. Because actually, it's this world that's the wrong way round. And it's sin that's put us into a mirror image and made this a looking glass world. Jesus is the real world. He puts things the right way round. So verse 36 of Mark. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? Now, suppose you're trapped in the jungle There you are, you're lost in the jungle. It's a place of disease, a place of death. You think, I've got to get out of here. But I'm lost. I don't know which way to go. I don't know which way to turn. I went up on a high place. I looked out as far as I could see. It was jungle everywhere. There was no way out. And if there's no way out, I will perish here. But then a rescuer parachutes in. He takes charge. He knows the way out. He knows the way through the jungle. It's a way to life and to safety. And he says to you, follow me. And because you're following him, he meets every danger head on. And he clears a path through the jungle to safety. And his instructions are clear. He says, you've got to follow me. Not some of the way, all the way. And you've got to leave your packs behind. And you're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to do as I say. Because if you stay here, you'll perish. Now, who in his right mind would stay in the jungle and perish? Well, the illustration's obvious, isn't it? That rescuer is Jesus. He's the one who's come into this world. He's come into the jungle of this world. It's a world that's marked by sin and death, and beyond death, the judgment. And we're lost. In fact, we're so lost, we don't even know we are lost. And left to ourselves, there is no way out. But Jesus, by his death and resurrection, what does he do? He clears a path through the jungle to safety, to God's new world, so that following him, we arrive safely, we're rescued from sin and death and hell, and we're saved for light and life and love, God's world, heaven. So who in his right mind is going to stay behind? But you see, then that voice inside, self, says, whoa, 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 wait a minute, wait a minute. That little voice says, stay behind. It's too costly. You've got to take your chances here. What do you mean, take your pack off? Give up everything to follow the rescuer? I don't think you can trust this Jesus. You've got to trust yourself. Trust what you think, says that little voice. And the little voice says, anyway, besides, I understand there's some hidden treasure in the jungle. So self will say to you, stay behind. Jesus says to you, if you stay behind, it's a place of death. Stay behind, you perish. Stay behind, you lose everything. For what can a man give in return for his soul? Self will say, stay behind, keep your pack, keep everything you've got, stay, trust yourself. And Jesus says, no, 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 you've got to follow me, trust me. And that's why Jesus says to you, you've got to shut that voice up. Because that voice will destroy you. You've got to deny self. I'm not listening to you. You've got to take up that cross. Self, I'm going to nail you to that cross. And says, Jesus, you come with me. You come with me. Because if you don't, well, a terrible day is coming when this world will be dissolved, when God will make a new heavens and a new earth. And says Jesus, the king will return, and it'll be the coming judgment. It'll be the day of reckoning, and on that day you will lose everything. And you'll be banished forever into the outer darkness. Verse 38, for whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. On that day, says Jesus, if you've listened to that voice, if you've listened to self, and you lose everything, says Jesus, you'll have no one to blame except yourself. There was the invitation. Follow me. Let's go. Let's go now. Let's not delay. But you said, no, I'm staying behind. I think I know better. And on that day, says Jesus, you will have destroyed yourself. So not to come to Christ, you do lose everything. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world? and forfeit his soul. You stay behind, yeah, you can gain the whole world, but you can't keep it. And at death, you will lose your never-dying soul. Beyond the grave, there are no second chances. The tragedy is we're happy to settle for less than the whole world. To exchange God's new world, the life of the age to come, everlasting happiness, to exchange all of that for a few shiny stones. Now, my mum was a journalist. And in the 1950s, she was invited to the Savoy Hotel for the launch of a revolutionary new washing powder called Tide. I think if you're a certain age, you might remember Tide. And the strap line was, Tide's in, dirt's out. So there she was, the Savoy Hotel. And there were fanfares, the launch of this new washing powder, and there was Richard Attenborough. If you're below a certain age, you think, who's he? Well, at the time, he was a famous film star. And there was his wife as well. And a coal miner came in all his dirty overalls, and with great ceremony, they took off all these dirty overalls and they put them into a washing machine. And then the tide was added and the machine was started. And there were the gathered journalists. There was the world to watch. And there they were sitting on these painted golden chairs, and they gazed spellbound into the washing machine. For some of them had never seen a washing machine before. At the end of the cycle, again with great ceremony, the clothes were removed, and Richard Attenborough held them high for all to see. And they were brilliantly white. And so my mum and the other journalists, they all left with a packet of Tide and a story to write about. For some, that was the world. There were fanfares. There were film stars. There was the latest innovation, washing machines, soap powder. From 70 or so years later, it looks pretty naff, doesn't it? Everyone gathering round just to watch a washing machine, washing some dirty clothes. Because we all know about it now, it's nothing. It's, you know, I could do the washing. But then everyone was writing about it, and it's naff from here, but it was new then. And that's always the world. That's always the way it runs. That's always the direction of travel. Things which seem so bright and shiny and new end up just being naff, and we're used to it and we're bored with it and we've got to go on to something else. So what's your box of Tide? What's your washing powder? What is it that's keeping you from coming to Christ? Maybe you're afraid of what people might say. They might mock you if you come to Christ. Maybe you're worried about what your family will say. Maybe you think, well, yeah, I get all of this, but I'm young and I've got some living to do first, and when I've done my living, then I'll think about Jesus Christ. And that's one of the biggest lies that we're told. Maybe it's a favorite sin, and you say, well, maybe it's a relationship. It'll be a something, won't it? And actually, in reality, all you're doing is you're swapping eternal life for a box of soap powder. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world or a box of soap powder and forfeit his soul? So weigh it up, count the cost. Everlasting life, glory, the wonders of God's new world, Jesus Christ, or a box of Tide. Or hell, but I kept hold of my box of Tide, my box of washing powder. Do you see now the kindness in Jesus' words? Do you see why he wants everyone to hear this? Because he's saying that voice inside, the me inside me, there's a madness in that voice. That voice is out to destroy us. to keep us in the jungle, to keep us in the place of decay and death and the loss of everything. So he says, silence that voice. Put it to death. But of course, Jesus is kinder still, because he did go to that cross. And there he died the punishing death for sin I deserve to die. And there my sins, my offences, my wickedness, that was hung around his neck, and he was plunged into the hell that I deserve. So that everyone who comes to Jesus Christ, they can enjoy, oh, it's just the beginnings, peace with God, the calm of sins forgiven, the certainty of rescue. But it's a new life. The very life of God, resurrection life. It's like you've been in a desert and you're dry and thirsty and someone gives you an everlasting cool drink of water and you think, this is liquid life. I'm alive. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And so you see, Christians aren't coerced or bullied into leaving all for Jesus. It's not because they maybe grew up in the right place and heard the right things, and that's why they believe and that's why I don't believe. It's because they've been conquered by his love. Love divine, all loves excelling. That he went to that cross. He so loved me. He went to that cross for me, to save me. This wonderful person, this King of Kings. No one has ever loved me as he has loved me. He certainly loves me better than that voice that's inside of me. Self is not worthy. Self shrinks and shrivels and turns in on itself, which is why at the end of people's lives, when they've lived for self, they're filled with regrets and disappointments. And as death approaches, they're scrabbling around looking for something to hold on to before it's too late. Desperate moments, the loss of everything. Self is not worthy of my worship, but Jesus Christ is. He is worthy. So as we close, maybe you're sitting on the fence, but you've discovered that actually there's no fence to sit upon. You've been holding back for ages, maybe, and actually it's time to walk out on self and to come to Jesus Christ. If you don't come to Jesus, you lose all. If you come to Jesus, you gain all. He's no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Maybe if you've been thinking about Christianity and you've just been jumping at shadows, it's the shadows that are keeping you away. And actually, when you begin to see it in the light of his word, you think, actually, what am I doing? What game? What am I playing at? And maybe it's time to come to Jesus Christ. Maybe it's time before this day is out to talk to him, to come and talk to him, to tell him, to say, Lord, I've sinned. With me in charge, I just mess everything up. And that voice inside me, I can't seem to shut it out. But I come to you because I know that only you can rescue me, only you can save me. And to bow the knee to him and say, oh, Lord, please forgive me and change me and save me. Maybe it's time you came to Jesus Christ today. Have you been swimming with one foot on the bottom of the pool? You ever done that sort of, you're half swimming, aren't you? Well, that's okay when you're in the shallows. But when the water rises or you get out of your depth, one foot on the bottom of the pool and you'll drown. It's all or nothing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Son Our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't hide these things in the small print. And we thank you for his kindness in telling us to deny self, put self to death. We thank you, Lord, for that greater kindness, that wonderful loving kindness in going to the cross to do everything we could not do to put us right with yourself. Lord, help us to not to be cowardly, not to rest on our fears, not to trust that voice inside, but to trust the voice of the one who does not lie, the voice of the one who is surpassingly wonderful, and to find in Jesus Christ our all in all, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.